So 2019, late 2019, or in the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, I founded Rethink Your Food to address the lack of programs and campaigns that promote a plant-based diet among people of Caribbean heritage in the Caribbean and in the diaspora.
Green Hero. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Green Hero podcast. This is Ricard, founder of Green Hero, your go-to source for making plant-based eating easy and enjoyable. Each week, we'll be digging into the inspiring journeys of people who live a plant-based lifestyle to tease out the most effective and fun ways to add more plants to your life.
Green Hero.
Today's guest is Liz Ross, founder and executive director of Rethink Your Food, a nonprofit organization that focuses on change towards a plant-based diet primarily among Caribbean people in the Caribbean region and the diaspora. Currently located in Florida, Liz was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago, where her family owns land and grows crops within the rainforest. With Rethink Your Food, Liz creates public events, campaigns, and works to partner with institution and food service companies that commit to investing in healthier and more sustainable communities. Liz, welcome and thank you for joining us on our podcast. I'm super excited to have you on our show. Where are you calling in from today?
Oh, Florida. We just had Hurricane Ian.
Oh my God. Yeah, was that? You're all good? All safe?
Yeah, I am. We had high winds and a lot of rain. In some places it flooded. I'm in South Florida. What was really nice about us is that we actually got to see the beauty of nature because the winds were just the right amount and the rain was just the right amount and you can just see the trees blowing and it was just beautiful. However, unfortunately, when you go up to places like Tampa and Orlando, they had severe flooding. And also, I know Virginia had a lot of flooding as well because Ian went all the way up there. So, you know, it's tough. We had some, I was wondering if I was going to have a good connection. And thank goodness we do for this. So, I mean, you know, it just speaks to the urgency to really talk about having a sustainable plant-based food system in the conversation.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. So I've been looking forward to speaking with you and hearing more about the work that you are doing with Rethink Your Food and Vegan Caribbean Kickstart. I think it's so important to make the space for accessible and culturally appropriate plant-based food. So maybe we can just like dig into like, where did it all start?
Yeah. So I actually have been in the sort of vegan animal rights world for about since 2011. And I've actually worked for an animal rights organization, vegan outreach organization. So, and I've also been on a farm as an apprentice at UC Santa Cruz Center for Agroecology and Sustainable Food Systems. So all of that tied in has really informed my world around food system and sustainability. And I am vegan. I am an ethical vegan. And that was when I actually read a book, Gail Eisnitz, called Slaughterhouse. And also seeing the health benefits to my body. I had gastric reflux. I had knee pains. I had menstrual cramps. I was sleepy a lot. And when I changed my diet, I ended up running half marathons.
Wow.
And like literally, I was, no joke, the last, and I have it documented because, you know, they track your, when you're doing half marathons, they have that thing on your shoes where they track you. I was in the top 20% of 20,000 people. And I don't think I would have been able to do that if I wasn't on a plant-based diet. My joints, I know, had changed. I felt that because I used to have knee pains and I stopped. I said, oh my gosh, I wouldn't be running anymore, which is what I used to do, just run 30 minutes. So, mm-hmm. So anyway, coming back to now, I decided that this was the time that I would do my own thing based on the fact that even prior to that, I had a few conferences that I co-founded in Los Angeles focusing on people of color. It was called the People of Color Animal Rights Advocacy and Food Justice Conference, and it was the first of its kind. We had about 75% people of color, 25% non-people of color, and it was a good mix. It was actually the first time back then in 2016 and 17 that you saw the diversity of what vegans looked like, as opposed to mostly the mainstream back then when it looked mostly white and mainstream. So this was about connecting us together and showing that people of color are in the community doing our work. So 2019, late 2019, or in the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, I founded Rethink Your Food to address the lack of programs and campaigns that promote a plant-based diet among people of Caribbean heritage in the Caribbean and in the diaspora. I was born and raised in the Caribbean. So I also noticed that there is a lack of initiatives that partner with people who are invested or committed in sustainability and healthy communities through a more plant-focused perspective. And the third major thing was I noticed there's a lack of like a resource center, a website in which people can get data and information to support the transition to a plant-focused food system. And, you know, i.e. a plant-based diet as well, or a plant-focused diet. So this would be a way in which people can get reference information to help promote policy change and institutional change. So those three things is sort of like where Rethink Your Food is. The first step, of course, is to introduce my organization to the community, which is basically a lot of little islands. So it's not like the United States. I mean, even though the United States is big and people are far away, it's just a lot of little islands. So for example, in Trinidad, where I was born and raised, it's what, 1.3 million people? You know, LA, where I was, there's a lot more. So, you know, starting off with a web-based system like a Vegan Caribbean Kickstart is a great entry point to reaching a lot of people with less money and introducing them to a plant-based diet. So it also serves the purpose of connecting me with other people, because I have noticed, because they've emailed me, thank you, and this is great, and so on, because it has an email series in it with information, as well as a sample meal plan with Caribbean food and recipes that I created, which is basically a book because I'm a recipe developer. People who are in government positions, people who are teachers, professors. So this is a way for me to connect with people, people who are in the sustainability world, so that when I am ready to work on other programs, I can connect with them, people who are already interested. And that's what it serves. The other thing, it's the Vegan Caribbean Kickstart, which is at vegancaribbeankickstart.com, is that it provides a space in which people can experience going to the market, picking their food in the backyard, which is common in the Caribbean, going to the grocery store, the experience of cooking, the experience of communing with others throughout that process, to the larger context of finding meaning in celebrating our Caribbean food culture, our Caribbean heritage, with the larger context of knowing that you are part of the process of people who are trying to make our food system much better than it is. So that's what the Kickstart is. And it's very similar to Veganuary, if people know about it. So why the Caribbean? Well, here's the thing. There is about over 55 million people of Caribbean heritage. The Caribbean itself, according to the United Nations, it says about 44 million people speaking different languages, Spanish, English, French. Those are the three main languages. And smaller islands would speak Dutch, like Suriname, French and Haitian Creole, depending on if you're in Martinique or if you're in Haiti. And then if you take into consideration the immigrants, Caribbean immigrants living in the U.S., that I saw the data is about 4 million. And then their offspring, who were born and raised in the U.S. of Caribbean heritage that are still connected with their heritage, that's probably at least double. So if you look at that pattern in Canada, in the U.K., in England, in Spain, and in France, that's about, I would say, 55 million people of untouched outreach. Putting that into context, California, which is the largest state in the U.S., it's about 46 million people. So that's one way in which we really need to do a lot of outreach in that community. The other thing, of course, is health reasons. Like most of the world, Caribbean people do suffer from health-related problems that are food related because of the high meat consumption that has become global. And then if you look at most Caribbean countries import about 70% of their food, and some of that meat comes from factory farms, concentrated animal feeding operations, which we know are horrendous. In the US, some of the meat, dairy, and eggs in the US, in South America, and even as far as New Zealand. I don't know if you watched the movie Milked, which is about the dairy industry in New Zealand.
Yep.
I mean, it's huge. So we import from factory farms. Also, if you look at the area in the Atlantic called Western Atlantic Central Region, which comes from the east coast of Virginia all the way down to Florida, to the Caribbean region, that is one of the most heavily fished areas. And, you know, climate oceanographers, biologists will tell you of the depletion of the ecosystem and how it is affecting our seas. And then, as we've seen with Ian, Hurricane Ian, there are countries within what's called the hurricane belt in the Caribbean. So I'm from Trinidad. We get high winds. We don't get lucky. We don't get the hurricanes. But when you're looking at Puerto Rico, Haiti, Dominican Republic, sometimes Jamaica, Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, these islands have been severely affected by an increase in hurricanes and tropical storms in the severity and the number. You know, and other countries like Trinidad, we get Barbados, we get a lot of flooding. Because we're a small island, we can visibly see sea level rise and the effects of that. We can see the effects of the ocean acidification, how the corals now are becoming white and the coral reefs are looking like deserts where they were thriving with flora and fauna and sea creatures. So now is the time to start looking at plant-focused solutions in the Caribbean. And I would say that now is the time in which people are more open to listening as well. And this is where, this is my dream of Rethink Your Food. If I had a $300,000 budget, there's a lot I can do. So if you have any rich people listening,
they should contact you right now.
Or even smaller donors.
Yeah.
You know, rethinkyourfood.org. That's the place to go. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what lies ahead for Rethink Your Food.
And what do you see like so far? Because you have the people living in the Caribbean, but then you also talk about the Caribbean diaspora that's so big as well and spread all over the world.
Yeah.
How are their experience different, like with plant-based food? Are they already eating more plant-based food in the Caribbean right now? And people who are living in other countries, have they adapted other eating patterns? Like, what have you found? And like, how do you think about helping both of those two kind of groups?
That's a good question, because I moved to the US when I was about 21, 22. So that's like 30 years, you know, going back and forth. So when I first moved, you know, the food was a bit foreign. In fact, when I was in college, they used to call me Rabbit because I didn't know anything about salad dressing. And, you know, you have this salad and then you have the main course. And in Trinidad, you have everything on the same plate. And most of the greens are usually cooked or in soups. So I learned different things, different food systems here. So there are a lot of people. So for example, my niece and nephew, they have recently moved to the US and they live here and they do plan to go back home. Most of their food is Caribbean because they cook at home. However, because it's convenient, you now have Caribbean people going to McDonald's and Burger King, French fries, all of these foods, you know, you go to the restaurants, all of these high meat-based foods that are a little bit different, but it's still meat that people tend to be eating, you know, and then you have weight gain and health problems and so on. So it is a little bit different. However, the thing about immigrant communities in the US, Canada, England, wherever, is that most people tend to be in the same geographical region. Mm-hmm. Even though you have people that go out. So for example, South Florida is home to one of the largest Caribbean populations in the United States. It's kind of neck and neck with New York. And when I mean New York, that's the Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the Caribbean-owned market to go get your breadfruit, go get your green fig, your plantain, go get what we call Edos, which may be hard to find if you were living in Ohio. When I was living in South Florida, they called it taro, where we called it Edos, but you didn't have what's called a dasheen bush, which is part, the Edos is the root vegetable that's down in the soil, and then the leaves, which is what we call dasheen bush. I couldn't get that in LA, but I can get that in South Florida. So many of us are still connecting with our heritage foods. I'm mostly focusing on the Caribbean region because there are more myths in the Caribbean region more than here. People have access to knowing what Gardein is. They have access to sort of going to Whole Foods and the grocery store and seeing more plant-based milks. You have Just Egg. You have more conferences. You know, you have people going online. And once you sort of get into the plant-based world, whether if it's for health reasons or for the environment or for, you know, anti-animal suffering reasons, ethical reasons in that sense, there are communities and spaces in the United States that you can see that. I mean, Facebook and Instagram has an algorithm. So by region, by interest, and so on. So the Vegan Caribbean Kickstart is for people who are, anyone actually can join, regardless of if you're of Caribbean heritage or not. But the food and the choices of the food that is incorporated in there can be easily accessible in Caribbean countries. Mm-hmm. So if you live in Ohio, you may not have access to Edos. And I don't know, maybe you do in Ohio, but you have access to potatoes, which is a root vegetable. So you can substitute things. You may not have access to breadfruit, but you can also eat something else. So you don't need to use that recipe. What I want people to do is to find agency in the program. So it shows five food groups, not four, which is basically based off of Center for Nutrition Studies, T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies program, of which they partly fund the Vegan Caribbean Kickstart. And what I like about their food group is that it has grains, legumes, fruits, vegetables, and root vegetables, as opposed to just ignoring that, because that is a huge part of the Caribbean diet, including places like Thailand and India. And root vegetables, I would say, we underestimate its power and nutrition content and the fact that it's filling. So the Kickstart serves as that purpose I have an example of people that I know, including myself, that show a food plate and it shows like a pie chart, mm-hmm. sort of like percentages, you know, just to get it in people's head what it looks like within a week, so that people can now tailor their own menu to suit them. Because even in the Caribbean, not everybody eats the same thing and not everybody likes the same food. So it's about agency, which is why cooking is very much a part of this program. And also because Caribbean people do tend to cook more than they do hair. However, as things go, now you have TGI Fridays in Trinidad. I mean, who'd have thought? Like TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
You know, so you have these US chain restaurants now venturing out to other places in the Caribbean.
And do you see as well, like, have you had a good response from people in the Caribbean from different countries, or are you focused mostly on Trinidad to start with?
Yeah, so it's not a year yet. And we've had over 13,000 people sign up for the Kickstart, which is fantastic. I would say by the time we hit a year, we would have more than 15,000 people, which means that I would have met my goal. Most people we are getting is seeing my ads through Instagram and Facebook. And also more recently, I'm trying to work with Twitter to post ads as well. And they're very inexpensive, actually. And about of the signups we have, about 85% identify as people of Caribbean heritage. And I know this because when you sign up, you go on the website, you have to fill out, like, answer five quick questions, you know, where are you from and so on. And of that, 73% live in Caribbean countries. And of the total Caribbean people of all from all over, 77% live in Caribbean countries. We have about 21 countries participating, maybe more. Like, I've seen one or two people from Spain, a couple of people from, you know, from France. But generally, it is from mostly English-speaking countries in the Caribbean, because this is an English-speaking program. Later on, I'll have Spanish-speaking and Haitian Creole. But I have the list here. Anguilla, Bahamas, Barbados, Belize, which is on the east of Central America, but also part of the Caribbean. They're English speaking. The British and US Virgin Islands, Cayman Islands, Dominican Republic, Guyana, Jamaica, Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Grenada, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Trinidad and Tobago, and Turks and Caicos. So when you go on the website, on the front page, I have like a ticker thing, I guess they call it, where you can see all the flags. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's really, I mean, this is my first program for Rethink Your Food. And I'm really excited about the results. And they people email me as well. So that's, I mean, that's how I know. One person recent email was like, I live in Belize and I have a dessert that is a chocolate dipped banana. And mm-hmm. it says, get chocolate, the little chocolate nibs and melt it. And she says, well, I can't find that. So what do I do? So I sort of gave her a recipe to add, you know, with cacao or cocoa powder. And, you know, so it's really nice. And in the diaspora, like the United States, people from Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti, who speak English, also sign up for the program.
Interesting. And what is it what's driving the signups? Are you seeing people are interested in animal welfare? Is it the environment? Is it personal health? Like, what is it really that's driving people towards this?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So being in this business, in this industry, nonprofit industry, Faunalytics, Faunalytics, has done a lot of research, really good research. They're not biased. You know, they're putting out the research. If something doesn't work, they'll say that. And most people are vegan because of health. Most people are introduced or motivated to start a plant-based diet for health reasons. So my ads tailored to more health reasons, it'll say something like, my most recent says, isn't it time to try vegan Caribbean food or plant-based Caribbean food, or join 10,000 Caribbean people who've signed up already, choose health, you know, those kinds of things, choose life that focus more on health. However, or in addition, when the program has emails that has content, videos. If you want to really get geeky about it, I have links on, you know, with data, you know, that you can read, but most people like the videos and the short, you know, things that touch on health. So for example, where do you get your calcium? You're not going to die of protein. You know, there are people who require much more protein, as in Olympic athletes who are on a plant-based diet, to talking about factory farms, particularly where animals are concentrated, or anywhere where there's a huge concentration of pigs or chickens or cows, and the saturation of nitrogen and other chemicals that run off into the soil and the ocean or your water supply. So I have videos about that. Nothing gory, because this is about moving towards more than trying to appeal to people to make them feel bad or guilty. And then I also have information about sentience. So it's basically, I have one that says, what is empathy? And empathy means this, but it also means other sentient beings, like the animals that we eat, and how, you know, our society has taught us to disconnect from that kind of empathy. So I go into all three without, I have, for example, a cow that was rescued in New York. The cow jumped from the trailer, and that everybody was concerned about the welfare of this cow. And the lady who was working in an animal shelter or whatever, she talked about for the first time, she actually made the connection between why she cares about this cow that jumped off of a trailer to actually eating cows that were slaughtered. And it just clicked with her. So that's where the content is. The other thing I want to say is that some of the data shows that people who are on a plant-based diet or a vegan diet for the long term usually are so because of moral reasons around not wanting to see animals suffer. And that's pretty much why I am vegan. I mean, I'm an ethical vegan, so I don't wear leather, and I try as much as possible not to participate in the exploitation of animals. So, however, I would push back a little bit and say that there are other ways in which people come to eating a plant-based diet for the long term that are not necessarily based in animal rights per se. And it just depends on your demographic and the culture in which you are actually doing the polling.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, because one thing that's interesting is that I think the more traditional, or like that has been going on for years, coming into vegan lifestyle has been through animal welfare, right? Like when I grew up and was in like 30 years ago, you know, a lot of people talking about animal welfare to get into veganism. But there is a shift right now, and I think that has a lot to do with climate change, that it's also ethical in a way. It's not just for our personal health, it's for something else.
Yes.
And I think we see that a lot in, especially in Northern Europe, England, Germany, the Mediterranean right. countries, not so much yet, but the countries where climate change is debated in the press much more, and where it's related, they talk about climate change and they talk about plant-based eating. So there's a lot of young people that are kind of transitioning into this lifestyle, coming more from an environmental perspective, more than just animal welfare that it might have been in the past.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you can see that in the UK, and I wish the US would... Well, you know, that's another story. But, you know, in addition to climate change, in the Caribbean, there are a lot of people who are already starting to eat a plant-based diet from even before my program. And they are actually joining up because they email me for religious reasons. So, which is, of course, as you know, just like climate change, it's also ethical, but it's not animal rights focus per se.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I mean, even in the US, in Loma Linda, there was a 60-year study of Seventh-day Adventists. And many of them now, according to the book, The Blue Zones, which is the National Geographic team, did research on healthy communities. They have found that there's a lot of Seventh-day Adventists moving from vegetarian to vegan. And I have a lot of Seventh-day Adventists in the Caribbean joining the program. There is a lot of Seventh-day Adventists in the Caribbean. And many of them believe that part of their spiritual identity means that you have to have a clean and healthy body and mind that houses your spirit and your soul. So to them, it's about their spiritual identity. And I know people who are vegan for those reasons for the long term. The other group in the Caribbean are Rastafarians. And there are Rastafarians, many of them are actually pescatarians. So they don't eat eggs or milk, but they'll eat plant-based and fish. And some of them were actually vegan before this whole vegan word became mainstream. Many of them are becoming more plant-based. What we call ITIL in the Caribbean is what you would call more plant-based in the United States and Europe. And that, again, is about living a more clean life, a more sustainable life in which you are connected to the land and you are recognizing that the land also includes animals and you as part of the ecosystem. So it's about not taking too much from the land and replenishing the land, about having a healthy body, about having a lot of Rastafarians now are very much into meditation and what's called Kemet yoga or Kemetic yoga, which is more Egyptian based. It's a more holistic way of living and community. And it is also about connecting back to their African ancestry and understanding that your African roots doesn't start with chattel slavery in the West. It starts way beyond that, where you have seen the contribution of Africans in their times in science and math and social systems, farming and so on. So it's about that holistic connection and that type of peace and oneness and cleanness and oneness with the earth is what they call liviti, L-I-V-I-T-Y. And that is about what, I guess, if you were a Buddhist or, I don't know, maybe a Hindu, that would be like nirvana. And then, of course, in Trinidad is about, 35% people from India. And of that, it's maybe about 60% Hindu. And some of the Hindus don't eat meat and they never had meat. They've had milk, but no meat and no eggs. So people can come to eating plant-based for the long term for other reasons as well, not just animal rights focused and only animal rights, as you just explained.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think that's a great note to kind of transition and to the end here of this interview as well.
Oh, we're done.
So I wanted to ask as well, like, what's next for you coming up now the next year? What are you planning for?
Yeah. So at the end of this year, the Vegan Caribbean Kickstart will be starting its second year. And that's when I'm going to have videos, more content around recipes, and also a podcast called Positive Vibration, which is around interviewing people and really so that people can see visually that we are here and hear our stories and hear also issues around climate change, animal agriculture, and health. So that's going to happen. And as I get more funding, the other programs that I will have probably in 2024, but in 2023, if I can get more funding to get more staff, the Better Menus Initiative, which is basically going into or partnering with people who are invested in healthier communities through diet change and menu. So the food service sector around vocational institutions and hospitals and health and wellness experts to switch out some of their animal products for plant-based products over the years. And that will go as far as we can take it to have more plant-based food and less animal-based products. And also using that to hopefully help to be a resource, because we will have pilot programs and other programs to change bigger policy on a more governmental level. And then the database, I'm really excited to hire a researcher and several writers, including myself, to have a hub on the website and where people can reference information to support a transition or a move towards a more plant-focused, sustainable food system, starting with diet, but also with how we do trade in the Caribbean and so on. So the lastly, around the part around reaching people through the Kickstart, I also want to reach people, of course, through the videos and also hopefully a summit. I'm not sure whether it's going to be a web-based summit or an in-person. I would like it to be in-person in different places. So like Trinidad, Jamaica one year, Miami another year, maybe New York another year, so that people, including people in the food service sector and the health and wellness sector, to gather and hear experts talk about issues around plant-based eating. So that's my dream, my programs, my theory of change around starting with getting the grassroots and individuals to get on board and to engage, and then having that public support to then, and allies, not necessarily vegans, but you can be allies and not necessarily eat a 100% plant-based diet, but understand that our diet needs to change in our schools. You know, so once we get that grassroots building of momentum and support, enough people, whatever that number looks like, 3%, 10%, we can start implementing more institutional change.
Oh, that's awesome. And Liz, where can people find you online? On Twitter, your website, et cetera?
Yeah, so the main website is rethinkyourfood.org. And in that, under programs, you'll actually see the Vegan Caribbean Kickstart program. But it also has its own website called vegancaribbeankickstart.com. And the Facebook and Instagram, it is Vegan Caribbean Kickstart. So I think it's at Vegan Caribbean Kickstart, it's called. And that's where you can see. But if you Google it, just do a search for Rethink Your... Actually, Vegan Caribbean Kickstart, it'll come up. The Rethink Your Food website, it's only about a month old. So it may come up through a regular search or it may not. But if you do rethinkyourfood.org, you will obviously find it.
All right. That sounds good. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Same here. It was really fun. Really a lot of fun.
That was our episode for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Green Hero Podcast was produced by Andrew Rojek, and I'm your host, Ricard Bjerkdal. I'll see you next week for another conversation from our colorful plant-based world. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with a friend. If you haven't already, you can also find Green Hero in the App Store. Download our app and start enjoying a plant-based lifestyle today. You can also find us on the web at the URL greenhero.life and on Twitter and Instagram, where we operate under the handle Green Hero Life. All right, see you next week. Bye-bye.